So here we are again, meeting together for the purpose of the kingdom. And I want to continue speaking about the restitution of doctrine. And we're eventually going to get to the purpose of the wilderness, because the wilderness actually served a purpose in God's plan for the children of Israel. So I wanted to say, as we begin, I wanted to encourage you to go and listen again to the podcasts at thirdday.live, thirdday.live. I made that for you to have a resource to study the Word of God. Amen? Because we need to have that. And to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and in your car or while you walk or anywhere you take your phone. So if you could remember to do that. Spend your time. Learn. Give yourself to the purpose of seeking the kingdom of the Lord. You won't regret a moment that you spend. So I wanted to also speak before we begin that, you know, I've been asked a few times about the situation that's unfolding as we see, we hear on the news what's taking place in the United States and overflowing to the other countries of the world, including our own, sowing great division amongst the people, that you can certainly see emotions and things building up in people's lives and hearts. And so I wanted to say that to you today, that you are the children of heaven, and God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is your Father. And you acknowledge that by saying amen, that would be great. You're the children of God, and the one who created all things is your Father. And another point that we need to understand is that we are ambassadors from another country. You are here from another country. You were born from heaven, born from above. And you're here for a purpose. In fact, you're here for a specific purpose. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and as he was addressing his disciples, he said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So, we are the ones. We're the ones that are called to preach that gospel in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And once that is done, the end is here. And the end is here. So I want to remind you that you're here for a purpose. And sometimes it's so easy to get distracted from that purpose. But if you can receive it, my brothers and sisters, your passport says heaven, not Canada. In fact, you have a diplomatic passport, as you are an ambassador from heaven. And just so that we understand that sin is at the bottom of every destructive, evil wickedness on the face of the earth. The bottom, the foundation for everything, every bad thing, every wrong thing, every injustice, the foundation for that is sin. In fact, darkness is sin. Everything, doesn't matter what it is. Sin is at the bottom. It's the foundation of all wickedness. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. And I want to read to you what the word says about his plan. Because his plan is to make war on the earth. In Revelation chapter 16 and verse 14, it's very clear what Satan intends to do. It talks about the beast, the false prophet. And it says, out of their mouths are going to come spirits. They're the spirits of devils. And it says, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So everything that you see that's taking place is gearing up for that day. And if you read a little further in that passage, it talks about everybody being brought to that place called Armageddon. So when Matthew 24 tells us that nation is going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, there's going to be famine and pestilences and earthquakes. And it says these are the beginning of sorrows. What's the devil's plan? To bring war, to bring hatred, to bring division, to cause anguish to the souls of men, to end the souls of men without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the very end, in the last time, Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and it says that he will no longer deceive the nations. For 1,000 years, there's going to be peace on the earth because Satan will be bound. And then it says after that 1,000 years, he's going to be released for a season, a small season, a small time. And during that time, it says that he's going to go out and deceive the nations to make war against the people of God. Really, it's against the nation of Israel. That's Satan's plan. Whatever you see in the world is him trying to accomplish his plan, or about to accomplish his plan, going about it. Nation is going to rise against, they are already, kingdom against kingdom. There's unrest. You know, it doesn't matter. Every day you listen to the news, North Korea and South Korea, they're an emotion away from war. It's distressing. In the United States, what we see could happen, you know, civil war could break out in the streets of the cities that are down there. There's so much division, so much anger, so much hatred. And where does it come from? The enemy. Sin, which is the basis for every wicked, evil, ungodly deed ever done on the earth. It's sin. Matthew 24, verse 7 and 8, I read, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Can you imagine, we just had a time where everybody was quarantined. Nobody was able to work. Literally, the country was brought to its heels, not able to continue on and function as we normally did. Can you imagine if that was coupled together with a famine where there was no food? Could you imagine that you throw in the destruction of an earthquake or whatever signs of nature? Don't take for granted, but thank God for every day that you have and every day of freedom that you have to speak about Jesus Christ. We are truly blessed in our country, even to this day, to have this privilege to speak about Jesus Christ freely. Lord, we give you thanks tonight for all the things that you've done for us to redeem us, to redeem our souls from death, to lead us, Father, to eternal life, to break the bondage that's in our lives, the bondage of sin, of wickedness, of ungodliness, and to give us this great purpose of being on the earth in the last time to fulfill your will. It says just a few verses down, that was Matthew 24:7-8. Down in verse 21, it says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." In other words, there's going to be such trouble that there has never been in the history of the earth anything like what's going to take place. What's right at the door? What is very soon going to take place? Never been anything like it since the beginning of the world to this time. And it will never, ever after that be. That's what Jesus said to warn us for our understanding. Who is the peace? Jesus. And there will be no peace. In fact, the Bible says, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. There will be no peace on the earth without Jesus Christ, for he is the Prince of Peace. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do, what you stand for, what you stand against. It doesn't matter. There is no peace without Jesus Christ. Remember that, beloved. There is no peace. There will be no peace on this earth without Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because it's through Jesus and in Jesus that there is peace, and only in him. And we see that division and destruction taking place in the church today. In fact, it's a sign of the times given to us in Matthew 24, that in the last days that iniquity shall abound because the love of many shall grow cold, or shall wax cold, as it says in our Bible. It's a sign. Who is he talking about? He's not talking about the world, because they don't know about love. You don't know about love until you meet our Father, until you receive his love. Then you know about love, until you've been forgiven your sin. It's a sign. Division is there. Division is everywhere. Division is in the church. It's in doctrine and denomination, as we've been saying. But one thing that's so exciting to think about is that the Lord is going to bring his church together, whoever they are, wherever they might be, wherever they're sitting, whatever church or denomination they're sitting, he's going to bring them together. Not somebody, him, by his Spirit. That was the prayer of Jesus in John 17, as we've studied before. Jesus saying that they all may be one as we are. That was Christ's prayer. That's you and me. That's all those people who have accepted Jesus. The only thing that divides us are the lies of Satan. What unites us is the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. That's inside his people. Glory. That the love of Christ that is in us to love one another. Amen? I'd like to say to you, do you have your brother's back? Stand together. Don't let anything come between you and your brother or sister, especially thoughts in your own mind. Rebuke those. Those are not from the Lord. We come against division in the name of Jesus. We stand against the lies in the name of Jesus. So I wanted to say this because I think it's easy to get sidetracked. You know, I came to this understanding a while ago that I'm not here to support the pro-life movement. And you know, people say, why? Isn't it a good thing? No, What's a good thing is when you're redeemed from sin, your soul is saved, you're set free to follow the Lord. All those other things come and follow. But if I was to stop all the abortions in the world and they would never come to know Christ, what good is it? It's no good at all. Because you can't make the ungodly moral and immorality being accepted by God. It doesn't happen. And I realize that there are so many things, you know, as I was growing up my life and looking at, there's so many things, so many causes. Am I going to stand against the gay rights activists because I'm a Christian? No. I'm not here to do that. I'm here for one purpose. The Lord made it very clear. And that's to speak about Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel of Jesus. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they know? And that's you. I'm not talking about the ministry of pastoring or evangelization or anything. I'm talking about you and I giving our witness and testimony with power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the things that he did on the cross. So I'm not here to support the pro-life movement. I'm here to preach that life is only through Jesus Christ. Amen? I have a purpose. In fact, I'm not here to support Black Lives Matter or another organization, Blue Lives Matter. Actually, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking from heaven's point of view that all souls matter. And I was thinking about that scripture that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus died so that all could come. It didn't matter who you were. As you know, we working in the mission field in Africa and in India, and I've been to many other countries in the world. I've seen the Spirit of the Lord move on them, touch their lives, and so much astonishment, even more than I've seen him working here. Because he's not willing that any should perish. The Spirit of the Lord wants to move on these lives. But to say to me, you know, are you supporting this or not supporting this? And I have to say to you that I'm supporting the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is clearly my only mandate from heaven as an ambassador, is to speak the gospel of Jesus, to preach that message from John 3:16 that said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And once we repent of our sin, once Jesus comes into our life, we don't want to do that against our brother. We don't want to hurt another person. We want to love each other. It doesn't matter who or what your background is. Are there injustices in the history of humanity? Yes, there are huge injustices. There are injustices right now all over the world. Horrible things that are done. The people that think that they're righteous that are doing it. In fact, the Lord told us that they'll kill you thinking they do God a favor. The evil injustices that are witnessed in our society are a direct result of sin. If you want to know what's behind it all, it's sin. It's lives without Jesus Christ. And you know, I've lived long enough to know that had the opportunity to see lives change. I mean, drastically. I've seen people who have done nothing but injustices to others come and follow Jesus Christ and serve him. And so we pray for these things. We pray for our leaders. We pray for those that are in responsible positions in our government, that God would give them wisdom so that we could have the freedom to continue speaking and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think as we've been studying, one of the greatest injustices in Egypt was that they decided to kill all the men children of the children of Israel who were slaves in their country, just because they were multiplying so fast. And so an edict went out from the leader and they slaughtered all the children. What was behind that? Sin. Horrible sin. Hallelujah. But God has a plan. You know, I came across a quote from a preacher a few generations before us, and this is what he said. Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. And I think that kind of puts it in perspective. Yes. As a Christian, I'm not looking to build my house close to the church. I want to be used of the Lord to rescue those who are on the door or going in the door. That's our purpose. Let's not stop talking about Jesus Christ. Let's not stop allowing the love of Christ to move in us. So as we move on in our journey, I want you to mark in your Bibles, mark in your notes, Deuteronomy chapter 8, because it really illustrates clearly the purpose of the wilderness. And I'm just going to recap that really quickly. But the Lord told his people that I led you in the wilderness these 40 years to prove you, to humble you, and to know what's in your heart. So the purpose of the wilderness, the purpose of the trials that sometimes we face, sometimes the humiliating circumstances of our faith, are so that the Lord can prove us, so that he can know what's in our heart, whether we're going to follow him or not. And the wilderness became a place of separation. As we see all the children of Israel, after 11 days journeying in the desert, in the wilderness, being fed from manna from heaven, literally bread came down from the skies. You think about, you know, we talked about being over 3 million people, not to mention the millions of head of cattle, sheep, you know, all those things that they were coming out. And they had to feed. They had to have water. They had to have a place to pitch their tents. And the Lord took care of them. And, you know, one of the most beautiful signs is that we can see that it's after that baptism, they were no longer connected to the wilderness. Pharaoh was not on their heels anymore. Captivity was not there. However, in the mind, that had to be renewed. Just like it says, just like for you and I, we've come out from the world, but yet that mind, that carnal mind that's always working, and that's what Satan likes to tweak or likes to get after us with. Sometimes it's a lustful thought, a hateful thought, an ungodly thought, a selfish thought that draws us away from the truth. But beloved, we have power in the name of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but we have authority. We carry it. It's in our homes. It's called the Bible, the Holy Word of God. And it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to know what's written in God's word. Nobody can do that for you. You have to do that. So the Lord brought them, and it says that he allowed them to be hungry so that they could know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful lesson for us to learn. He's not going to let you die, but he wants you to know that he's your provider. And sometimes it takes a drastic circumstance in our lives that has to take place for us to realize that he's my provider. Thank you, Lord, that I tried everything I could. I went here, I went there, I did everything I could, and still nothing worked out. And then I cried unto the Lord in my trouble, just like Israel. And he heard their cry and delivered them. So today, we lift up the name of Jesus, not forgetting the things that he's done for us, knowing his word and what it says to us, abiding in his word, not by our thoughts, but bringing into captivity every thought. So the wilderness served the purpose. I'd like to give you that as that scripture, to read it, to know it, to understand how the Lord thinks about you and I. He wants to teach us. He wants to raise us up. And he wants us to come to that place where we can inherit the land, that we can possess what God has for us. And today, that's power and authority. Amen. But he's not going to give it to people that don't trust him, that are not following him, that are not listening to his word, that don't know his word, that don't even know his word. This is your time. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Now is the time. This is your time. Praise God for this day that we live. For you do live in the last days, my dear brother and sister, and this is your time, and now is the time. Now is the time. Today is the day. Glory, hallelujah. The day is far past. Night is at hand. It's time for us. It's time for people that are indecisive about who they're following to make a decision. It says many are, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. This is your time, beloved, if you can receive that. I speak to you the word of the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, because the word tells us, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And my dear beloved brothers and sisters, this is what the Spirit is speaking to the church, speaking to you. This is your time. Now is your time. And I want to tell you what you need to do to let the Lord use you at this time. He has prepared a way for you to go. He's made a way for you to walk in. Just like Jesus said to those men as he met along the way, come and follow me. He said that to many, but not everybody followed. Many had other things to do. You know, they had to do this or that, or you know, plow the field or marry a wife. What Jesus says, come and follow me. And that's what he's saying to you and I. And I want to give you four things tonight. Four things that we do in preparation to let the Lord have his way in our life, to follow the plan of the Lord for us. Number one, it's time to break up the fallow ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, fallow ground is ground that has been left unattended, that the wind and the weather and the, as the Bible describes it, the rocks that are piled up that separate those areas of land that are used to sow, that those rocks, those walls are broken down, and that all you see in that fallow ground is that hard surface and weeds, thorns and thistles. And the Lord says it's time to break up the fallow ground. Hallelujah. It's time to start digging in our hearts and our thoughts and our minds, to turn it up, to find out those things that are in there that don't belong to the Lord and that are not His Word. And the only way we can do that is through the Word. We need to have an encounter with the Word that we haven't had for some time, that we have been lax concerning the things that we know to do as far as seeking after the Lord, reading His Word, preparing our hearts and our minds to be used by the Lord. We become slack in those things. And we need to understand that. We need to own that. And we need to say, Father, forgive me for that. To break up the fallow ground. You know, the only way to break up the fallow ground is to acknowledge that you've departed from Him, that you're not the man or woman that you ought to be, that you've allowed other things to come into your heart and to your mind, and you've left it unattended with the Word of the Lord. And the only way to change that is to understand what happened and to ask the Lord to forgiveness. It's repentance. And it's allowing the Lord to show us the things in our lives that are not right. Break up your fallow ground. The next thing you do is sow the seed of the Word of the Lord. You know, when you break up the fallow ground, all those thorns and thistles that get turned over have to be removed. Amen? How many acknowledge that there are thorns or weeds that are growing in your harvest field? And they've got to be removed. You know what those thorns and thistles are? Let me read to you what Jesus said they were. He said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, it says, "He that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world." I hear some amens out there. "The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So I want to ask you today, is your life fruitful or unfruitful? If it's unfruitful, then we need to break up the fallow ground. We need to say, Lord, my life has not been fruitful as it ought to be. As a child of God, there should be some harvest to bring. There should be something in me that's bearing fruit from what you've, or from what's been sown in my life. And please don't get me wrong that this is some kind of thing to judge you for whatever, but you, without looking at ourselves, without acknowledging the Word of the Lord in our lives, we'll never come to righteousness. We're never going to come to the place where God can use us. So what is the thorns? What are the thorns in that field? The cares of the world? The riches? Well, you say, what, I'm not rich, but yet you are. You're living in Laodicea. You could have whatever you want. If you go to some of the countries in the world that are not rich, and you compare yourself to that, believe me, you're rich. Hallelujah. So when we break up the fallow ground, we have to get rid of those things. We have to come in touch with our first love again, considering what's going on in our life, and take out those things that we've allowed inside that don't belong to the Lord, to let His Word come and purge out that leaven, that old leaven, the things that are not that are in our lives that ought not to be so. And I know that as I'm speaking this word to you today, that some of you will be challenged, and you ought to be challenged, so that you can turn around and say, Lord, you know, what Pastor David is saying tonight applies to my life, and I don't want to remain in this life until you, or in this state until you come. I want to be used of you. I want to have a harvest in my life. I want to have a field that's producing fruit. I want to be fruitful. Glory, hallelujah. I want your word to come and be sown and bring forth fruit. Amen? And yes, that's you. If you leave the ground unattended, weeds grow. Isn't that funny? Well, it's not really funny. It's kind of ridiculous that you never have to plant a weed. For some reason, they're just there. And they're so amazingly powerful, they'll grow through the pavement in the road, through the sidewalk. They'll destroy everything unless you tend to it. But the harvest stuff, you have to plant it. You have to water it. You have to tend it. You have to make sure that the weeds don't get a chance to get rooted. Pull them out. Always watching your harvest. Hallelujah. And that's why we work so well together, don't we? Here, listen to this. Proverbs 24, verse 30 to verse 32. It says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then I saw and considered it well and looked upon it, and I received instruction, as we are receiving tonight. Amen? It's time to break up the fallow ground. It's time to get rid of the thorns, to burn them, to sow the seed of the Word of God in our lives. And beloved, nobody can do that for you. You know, I realize that as a pastor, one of the most frustrating things is that I can preach, you know, something that the Spirit of the Lord is just quickening to me. And I'm so anxious to give it to you and to encourage your life, to encourage your thoughts and everything. And I realize that I'm so powerless because I can't make you receive it. You can be sitting in the church or sitting at home and be completely indifferent to what we're talking about tonight. Yet this is to do with your salvation, your soul. How is it possible to be indifferent towards the words of God? But it happens. I've experienced it more than I'd care to admit to anybody but the Lord, of which I've already asked Him for forgiveness for. Yes, so many things are going on in our mind because we've left it unattended. So many thoughts are creeping in to steer us this way and this way because we've left our field unattended. It's time to break it up and say, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm going to start looking into your word. I'm going to get to know it. That seed of your word is going to be sown in my life, and I'm going to look for it to come and bring forth fruit. For whatever you send your word to, Lord, it doesn't return void. And I want it in my life to bring forth fruit, to bring forth something that you desire. As we gave the analogy of on Sunday about him being the potter and we're the clay, to let him, just let him do whatever he wants to do to that ball of clay that we are. Formless, useless to anybody or anything, but God has a plan for that individual vessel. He has a plan to shape it, to make it so that it can be used to carry the water. It's a vessel that he's making it to bring honor to him. And that's you, brother and sister. Let him have your life. I can't encourage you enough to open your ears to hear the word. And then after, to go home and open the scriptures. And as hard as it must be, or might be sometimes, let your mind meditate on a verse, on two verses, on something that touches your mind. Look it up, search it, do studies on things. Let the Lord begin to have your thoughts. And you'll never be afraid. You'll never be without direction. You'll never be in derision. Amen? Hallelujah. You'll be a giver of hope and life to those around you. And that's what you're called to do. But nobody can prepare you. You have to prepare yourself. You have to show the Lord, just like he did in the wilderness, to believe in him. Excuse me. Sow the seed of the word of God in our lives. How do you do that? By reading the word, by listening to the word, by studying the word. You know, I listen to these messages over and over again. I like to do it when I'm driving. I turn it on and my phone connects and I can listen to it. And I'm thankful for it and I'm stirred. And oftentimes in my car, it doesn't matter if my thoughts are not where they should be. It's that word that starts to quicken and stir in my mind. And not long before I'm saying, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, you are God. Yes, there is none like you. You are God of heaven and earth. Yes. Amen. And that's for you. Let the word of the Lord, wherever it is, no matter what your trouble is, go to the word. And if anything should happen in your life, the first thing that's going to come to your mind is the word of the Lord. Did you know that? Doesn't matter whatever the situation is, it's going to be the word of the Lord. It'll come to your mind, a verse. It'll be brought back to your remembrance. Sow the seed of the word of God. Next is tend to the weeds. And that's that wonderful scripture that we always speak about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Where are those strongholds, beloved? In our own minds. Strongholds that can be there even against the word or against the church or against me as a pastor or against your brother and sister. Strongholds, they're not from the Lord. And the Lord casting down imaginations. Amen? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Glory, hallelujah. It seemed to be important in the Corinthian church. It seemed to be so important that Paul had to address it the way he did. I believe that it's equally as important today in our church that we need to start grabbing a hold of our thoughts. We need to spend more time meditating in the word of the Lord. We need to spend more time reading. We need to spend more time seeking after God. If you seek me, you shall find me when you search for me. With all your heart, we need to spend more time waiting on the Lord, because they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And the sign of those who have victory, who are in the word, is joy. Amen. I have come that your joy might be full. Okay? tending the weeds, capturing our thoughts, bringing our thoughts into captivity. Next is watching the fruit begin to grow in our hearts and in our minds. Quickened, stirred. The faith begins to increase. Our understanding and our vision begins to expand and grow. And we can see things that are not as though they are. It said that Abraham looked for a country. Oh, hallelujah! Whose builder and maker was God. Beloved, you're going to be able to see what the Lord's going to do on the face of the earth and how he is going to move in his church. One of the most exciting things to have happen in our mind is that the Lord begin to reveal his plan to us. And that's what he wants to do. He's desirous to do it. In fact, he is doing it. Little by little, precept upon precept to bring us along. Break up the fallow ground. Number two, sow the seed of the word of God. Number three, tend the weeds. And number four is to reap the harvest, to let your life become fruitful. And I have a wonderful scripture that the Lord revealed to me, but I'm not going to give it to you now because there has to be always something to look forward to. Amen? But I want to remind you as we close tonight that it says that Jesus is held in the heavens until the restitution of all things. And you know, some of those things that we have been talking about is the restitution of true doctrine. Yes, there needs to be a restitution of true God-given heavenly doctrine. Not man's idea, not mixed together, not a compromise on the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord doesn't compromise, just as the children of Israel weren't able to compromise on their deliverance, even though Satan offered those four compromises. The restitution of true doctrine. The other thing is the need for true repentance to come to the church, and forgiveness, because there has to be a restitution of unity and love in the church, that the church may be one. That has to happen before Christ comes back. Amen? Are you excited about that? As I am so excited about those thoughts, but they have to take place. It has to be restored. It was at one time, and it was lost. But he is going to restore the love of the church one for another, and the love of the church for the bridegroom who's coming to get them. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. It's so exciting. Held in the heavens until the restitution of all things. True doctrine, unity, and the restitution of ministry gifts, of the true ministry gifts that are given to bring the church to perfection. We cannot be brought to perfection without those ministry gifts that were given, as it's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. We need them today. And it's our prayer, it's my prayer. Lord, restore those ministry gifts to your church to bring us to perfection, that we may go on unto perfection. As we see, as we've been studying in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, like Israel did for 40 years in the wilderness, and of faith toward God. So we're going to move on. And God bless you tonight. God bless you as you seek after him.